Is smoking cool again? Is cigarette core a new aesthetic? Is Gen Z susceptible to pick up the cancer-inducing habit? Should we shame celebrities for smoking publicly? Are people smoking again because of the pandemic? We will be answering all of these questions and more on today's episode of Borderline Inappropriate.
With Merle and Aria. Happy, happy new year, everyone.
Happy new year. We're here with a nice, healthy topic to kick off the new year.
Yes.
How many cigarettes did you smoke last night?
Hopefully this is a good episode also, potentially if you're a little hungover, you have a little listen to this. Maybe we'll
be relaxing.
We'll perk your spirits up.
We'll percolate your mind.
That's true. We absolutely will. Yes, and we figured, I believe this episode is coming out on New Year's Day. So this is actually a bit of a perfect topic to talk about, as of course, New Year's is around the time where many people kind of dive into their New Year's resolutions. And I'm sure a lot of people are looking to kick the habit of smoking as part of their resolutions for the year.
Or some of you are listening and smoking a cigarette right now.
Potentially. Absolutely.
Maybe that's your resolution. To start smoking.
To start smoking. I mean, honestly, that's what we're talking about today is that there are, well, you know the statistics, but there is an increased number of smokers joining the legion of smokers out there. And so maybe for some of them, they're like, you know what? I want to join the smoking crowd this year. And that's their resolution. That could be your resolution. And I guess we'll be discussing all that, unpacking it and more in today's episode, which I think is very much Merle's topic because this is something that she's very familiar with, having battled the addiction for most of your adult life. How many months are you since it's been your last bit of the tobacco?
By January 1st, it will be 5.5 months, I think.
If you are looking to kick the habit, Merle can obviously speak on how it's very difficult. Yeah. I mean, you made an entire video specifically about just nicotine in general.
Yeah.
Because today we'll be talking more about smoking cigarettes as opposed to vaping. But Merle had a problem with vaping as well, and she has a whole video about it, which we'll link in the description below. But it was a journey for you.
Yeah, that video, if you are looking to quit, I will direct you over there. For once, I don't feel weird plugging one of my own things, because genuinely, I did my best. I shot it over a year, first of all. I was trying to quit for a year, specifically vaping, but I've cut all nicotine altogether, and I'm still here nicotine-free, so it worked. But yeah, we want to cultivate a judgment-free zone, because I know for a fact, as with any vice, it's the last thing you want is to be preached at. We're not going to do that. We're actually going to look at how culture, pop culture at large, is impacting the coolness of smoking again. Apparently it's back, according to TikTok and according to, all of the celebrity magazines. Celebrities are smoking publicly again. So why is it taboo?
We'll be unpacking all this and more in today's episode. So we're looking forward to it. If you are new here and it's your New Year's resolution to find a great new podcast, well, you've stumbled upon the right one. This is Borderline Inappropriate with Merle and Aria. Every week we unpack a taboo topic, have an uncomfortable or an uncomfortable topic, just to, just have a little chat about it and learn more. Again, as Merle said, a judgment-free zone indeed. And we always love learning things with you all, listeners, viewers, watchers, whatever platform you're, I guess, digesting this platform on, be it an audio platform or on YouTube or on Patreon. If you're a Patreon member, getting a little extra ad-free episode. We're here
and
to...
And a song.
They get an exclusive song to Patreon members too. But that's what we're all here for, and we're excited to always dive into these topics together. And today's one is one where I'm going to be learning a lot from Merle, because I've never smoked a cigarette in my entire life, so I can't speak to knowing anything about this. So I'm excited just to learn about this with you all. And so if there are those out there who have also never smoked a cigarette or
but
don't
maybe
have,
you have
the
a
addiction,
partner or a friend,
exactly like I did with Merle when she was smoking, maybe this is something you'll find very informative, very educational.
And why is it taboo? Why is smoking taboo? Easy. Because it kills you. Yeah. And it's counterculture. It's an inherent middle finger to life. It also looks really cool. And I mean, it's not everybody thinks it looks cool, but you look back at like old Hollywood movies, you look at Grease, you look at like, I don't know, a lot of like sexy villains. They're usually smokers. So I think it's kind of taboo because people know it's bad. The people that are smoking know it's bad. But even people that don't smoke, sometimes they're like, whoa.
That's the thing. I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. But I will say, on that topic of it looking cool, I never used to think it looked cool, but I will say that as I've kind of like settled and evolved into the style I kind of have now with the tattoos and everything like that, I won't lie, there have been the fleeting thoughts in my head where I thought I would probably look even cooler if I had a cigarette in my mouth, And the fact that I'm having these thoughts, having never smoked a cigarette in my life, goes to show, I guess, how society has pushed this idea of smoking. Smoking's cool or looks cool, And so it's just weird because I never thought of it as being cool until I kind of like started thinking more about how it might fit the aesthetic, I guess,
I have
now.
It's like the bad boy aesthetic, or like the person from the wrong side of the tracks. It's basically being like, they look so cool. They don't even care that they're killing themselves.
I never thought of it like that before, but you're right.
We have been exposed to a lot of very fabulous, talented, thin people smoking throughout many different ad campaigns and movies. The profound writer's diet is like coffee and a cigarette. Or rock stars smoking, musicians, they smoke, they write music, they play music. There's just a lot about it that fits into a cool, edgy, grungy aesthetic.
No, I think Merle hit it kind of right there on the head. And again, I feel kind of bad because I'm going to be passing the buck to Merle a lot this episode, but it feels like it's definitely within her wheelhouse and more of her expertise. I can definitely feel the, not societal pressure, but kind of the, you know, the societal liking for smoking when it comes to trying to fit into a certain aesthetic, an aesthetic which I am kind of, you know, leaning into in general, the whole kind of, I guess, grungy kind of look.
The amount of crap I got from you when I was smoking cigarettes, if you started smoking cigarettes, I'd probably start smoking cigarettes
yeah,
again.
Yeah, that's really true. Well, we actually should talk about that, actually, is the fact that I, you know, Merle, when we first started dating, Merle and I, you know, when we were talking about our deal breakers, you know, I said to her very clearly up front that one of my deal breakers was that I didn't want to really date a smoker.
I would smoke when I would go out. I didn't smoke every day.
Which is why it wasn't a problem for me. But that, I did say that though. I just didn't find smoking attractive. Didn't like the smell, the taste, I guess.
Seems like your mind has been changed.
Well, no, I'm not, not at all. I mean,
waits until it's 5.5 months after I've, quit nicotine, and now you tell me you think it's cool to smoke.
I didn't know. Well, see, that's the thing. I'm not saying I think it's cool to smoke. I'm saying I can see how it's attributed to a certain aesthetic, and me personally, I feel like it would fit my aesthetic if I were a smoker. You know, I got all these tattoos.
I know what you're saying.
Exactly, yeah. So I've never smoked a single cigarette, and I would not find it attractive if you started smoking again, no. But yeah, that was one of my deal breakers for Merle, and just in general, that I just said, yeah, I'm not a fan of smoking. And Merle, her smoking habits when we first started dating were very rare. It was basically when she would go out drinking and she'd have a, you know, just a little drinking cigarette. So it was on very rare occasions. So I was like, okay, that's fine. But as documented in kind of her vape video, you know, it kind of got...
Yeah, that got out of hand.
That got out of hand, you know.
Vaping took it to a whole other level, but that's another episode.
That is another episode. But I will say that when you were smoking more regularly, that's when I started communicating like, okay, this is getting to a point where I am finding it very unattractive.
Oh yeah, and we wanted to make the distinction that we're not talking about like ceremonial tobacco.
Oh, of course, yeah.
For like indigenous practices or anything like, or medicinal practices. This is commercialized mainstream cigarettes. There were plenty of articles that I looked into for this episode that we'll put below because I don't want to take all of the credit for like the social commentary on this episode. It seems that, long story short, Ari is the one who brought this to my attention actually on TikTok. Why don't you say what inspired you to do the episode?
I'd read some articles about how in a weird way, not even in a weird way, but how smoking has become in some ways trendy again. You know, there was a big campaign against smoking in general. So I think I don't know the exact time frame, but I'd say probably the 2000s to the 2010s, like there was, people were like, oh yeah, let's not glorify smoking. But I feel like in recent years, there's been an uptick, at least, and again, I don't know the statistics, Merle probably does, but I've just been seeing more and more people posting about how it's aesthetic and cool to be smoking again. And so that's why I thought, well, that might be a good episode to talk about, especially considering Merle's experience, you know, having been a smoker.
What I found really interesting is just how much media and pop culture affect how we perceive smoking. Because I remember, honestly, like in the 90s, I mean, I don't really remember because I was like 8. There seems to be some sort of nostalgia for the Y2K aesthetic, like heroin chic. And then with the rise of Ozempic and the aesthetic of being extremely thin, the 90s and the early 2000s seem to be coming back. And wellness culture is back out again. I think people are sort of tired of the pressure from the whole wellness industry and community and standards. They don't want to be drinking green juice and doing yoga and having smoothies. They want to say fuck it. And I think a big part of that is because we just went through something extremely traumatic, which is the pandemic. And we were stuck inside for years and it was really scary. A lot of people were dying and getting sick. And I think certainly for some people, they developed a fuck this mentality and they're like, fuck it. Like, we're stuck inside. People are dying. Let's just smoke. Like, who cares? It feels like maybe Maybe death has become more prevalent on people's minds. This is certainly a part of it. So that's one aspect of it I kind of wanted to highlight before we go into pop culture. I think it would be remiss to just completely ignore the impact that the pandemic had on people.
And that makes me think that this sort of nihilistic approach to life may also be tied to not just the pandemic, but also just the state of the world at large. It feels like, you know, people have talked about how it feels like it's just bad news after bad news, bad things happening around the world, and bad things are happening around the world. And, you know, here in the U.S., politically, things just keep getting more and more divided. So to your point, people will maybe just be like, fuck it, you know, it's just, and so I get it in a weird way, you know, if that makes sense. Like, I don't necessarily say, oh yeah, we should all be smoking, but I get kind of that perspective where they're like, things are so bad anyways, who gives a fuck if I have a cigarette?
Right, the world's burning.
Yeah, I may as well burn my lungs at the same time, you know? And like I said, in a weird way, I kind of get it.
In this Guardian article I read, they were interviewing a paparazzo who was saying that Lily Rose Depp was posing in her pictures with her skinny cigarettes, and it was like not an accident. Like, now essentially, instead of getting phone calls from celebrities saying that they want him to delete photos of them smoking, people are shamelessly smoking in public. We see Jenna Ortega. You see, like I said, Lily Rose Depp. You see Dua Lipa smoking publicly. Dua Lipa even posts them on her Instagram. And I always look in the comments and a lot of people are like, please stop smoking. Please stop smoking. Come on, please. Like, you have so many followers. You have so much influence. For some people, and I can't say what those three do it for, but for some people, it's 100% aesthetic. Like, there's no doubt about it. And again, skinny culture. Nicotine notoriously is an appetite suppressant. Never ever was for me. So, but also maybe because I was usually drinking. So maybe it counteracted it. I don't know. I just think it's really interesting that now celebrities are saying, you know what? Screw it. Instead of trying to hide cigarettes, even though we know all these statistics about how bad they are for you, I want to be seen as a cigarette smoker because it's cool now. Or it's like part of my look. It's a fashion statement.
That's really interesting. Especially the fact that I didn't even know that previously the paparazzi were being asked to delete photos of people smoking, and now that's an interesting little wrinkle.
I would ask that makes people sense. That makes to sense. Not yeah, post pictures
true.
Of no, me no, smoking.
That does make sense. I never thought of that. And so it's just, anyways, it's very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of shame that comes with smoking cigarettes, but apparently the shame is being lifted. You also see Timothy Chalamet, Kylie Jenner smoking cigarettes. So I think not only does it send a message of, oh, look at these, it's basically just, it's adjacent to glamorous things. Like we were talking about with the famous writers, there's a cigarette. Oh, maybe that like helps inspire them. Same with the musician. Same with these really influential, popular sex symbols, I guess, if you could, with both of them, Kylie Jenner and Timothy Chalamet. You see them smoking, you're like, okay, well, they're not worried about the health stuff, so why should I worry about it? That's one thing I would think about. The other thing I always think about is the impact it has on your skin. And I'm like, well, they're not worried. Maybe I don't need to worry. But then I forget that they have millions of dollars to like get anything they need reconstructed and fixed. So that's probably not really a problem for them. I think it's fascinating. And I know that The Idol was a really hated show, but there was a lot of commentary around Lily Rose Depp's character and how much she's seen smoking in the beginning of the scene. I think she smokes like 5 cigarettes in the first 10 minutes or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
There's a scene that's like iconic, I guess, of her smoking in a sauna. So cigarette smoking is just, it's coming out in the media again. I mean, if you think about recent movies, like in the last 10, 15 years, I didn't notice a ton of cigarette smoking personally, whereas you look at movies from the 50s or 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, it's all over the place, and it's not even really taboo in the movies. It's socially acceptable mm-hmm. at the time.
And it adds to some certain characters' coolness or just like to the vibe, I guess, of the film. But you're right. There was kind of like I said, I think the 2010s, we were seeing a, you know, as you well put, you know, there was like a kind of a wellness push in society, I guess. And so we were seeing a little less of it.
Yeah. So it started off as like Cary Grant, Marilyn Monroe, Humphrey Bogart were smoking cigarettes. Then it was Kate Moss, Orlando Bloom. And that's another thing about smoking, which we can get into later when we talk about the social aspect of it. But what cigarettes you smoke also says it makes a statement.
Outside of just like screen stars, like you mentioned a little bit earlier, you have rockers, you know, in the 70s, the 80s, you know, musicians, you know, and it's just, it adds to kind of the mystique of these people that they're like these cool artists, I guess, that smoke. And that's just kind of, you know, they're just cool.
Yeah, the leather jackets.
Leather jacket, yep. tatted up.
I think with celebrities, a lot of the time it's about aesthetic. At least when people see it, they're like, oh, that person's really skinny and they smoke cigarettes. I wonder if there's a correlation. With musicians or whatever, maybe you're like, oh, that person is just like got charisma. Maybe that's, you know, cigarettes are part of the charisma. I think it just depends on who you're seeing it, what impact it has on you. Another thing that happened in recent times was that Jenna Ortega was seen on Memorial Day weekend smoking a cigarette and drinking wine with her friend. Then, after people were kind of freaking out about it, some people thought it was cool. I'm not gonna lie to you, when I saw it, I thought, I've always envied her skin. Like, her skin is so beautiful. I wonder, like, if she's doing it. I don't know. There's something about her skin. I was just like, she's beautiful skin. Like, she's gonna
say, the way you're saying this right now, you sound like a serial killer talking about her skin repeatedly.
I just mean
I know what you mean. I'm just saying, it's just funny.
She has beautiful skin.
Okay. Yeah, you keep saying it.
It's so clear and young. And it's like, you see her smoking a cigarette and I'm like, oh no, like, gosh, like, don't do it. But also part of me is like, yeah, that's gonna look beautiful forever anymore.
That sounds like a serial killer.
This is what my 30s have done to me. But no, I really am a big fan of hers. So I was like, oh man, she seems like just the epitome of youth and talent and success. So it was kind of shocking actually to see her doing it. Because a lot of the time I think of these people as too cool to smoke. That's how I think of it.
You think that, oh, it's like, so there are people that think that smoking is cool, but you're thinking to a degree, not smoking makes you even cooler.
Totally. Well, because I do think almost now, okay, so I said smoking is counterculture. I think not drinking is counterculture. Mm-hmm. So people that are sober, I think right now it's kind of like, whoa, that's cool. That's like courageous and that person is too good for drinking. Whereas when I was—
So you're calling yourself cool.
Yes.
And you are cool for not drinking.
I'm not drinking right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm giving up drinking forever, you know? So it's like, I don't want to like stand on a soapbox about drinking, but like Tom Holland publicly talks about how he doesn't drink anymore. And I think that that's really, really cool. He's young too. But for the longest time, I was like, oh, wow. You know, I thought that someone like Jenna Ortega or Anya Taylor-Joy, I thought they would turn their nose up to smoking. I never thought they would ever. And both of them smoke. But part of me also likes it because I'm like, oh, you're human. You have to give in to vices too. I can relate to that. So it's weird. It's like, there's this strange sensation that happens when I see a celebrity I really like smoking. Like, when I saw that Dua Lipa smoked, I was happy.
Yeah, we love Dua Lipa.
Because I was like, she's such a queen. And for some reason, I was like, oh, that makes me feel less bad that I liked to smoke. Because she is smoking, even though I'm not smoking anymore. So I don't know. It's really, really weird that whole thing in itself. Anyway, so when Jenna Ortega was seen smoking publicly, her mom posted a bunch of things on her Instagram. Like, she posted a meme of Gollum from The Lord of the Rings that was like, don't listen to the public about cigarette benefits. I don't know what this voice is.
Yeah, I don't know what that voice is either.
I've been smoking. What does he say? Like, my precious. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
My precious. How does he do it? Can you do it?
I can't do it. I'm not even going to try. Okay, well,
basically the bottom line is like, I've been smoking for 20 years.
I mean, that does sound like the voice of a smoker. I'm a heavy, heavy smoker.
And look at me. And it's like Gollum. So anyway, her mom posted that meme, which was like really funny. And then she also posted like statistics about smoking.
So her mom was speaking out against it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was really cool. And then I think the last slide she did was like, a mother is still a mother at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting that happened. Did you see that happen?
I did not see that happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Public shaming by her mother.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of great.
But yeah, interestingly, well, speaking of, like, how was your relationship with your mom when it came to her knowing about you smoking? Because she was a smoker too, right?
She was a smoker, but she quit before she had me. She also stopped drinking before she had me, so.
But did she, when you started smoking, well, you never smoked during the day. It was more when you're drinking, but I guess when she found out that you would smoke, I guess.
I was very ashamed about smoking, so I would do it secretly all the time. For example, I didn't drink around my mom, so I didn't really smoke around my mom, because I didn't drink soberly. I mean, I didn't smoke soberly, so there weren't a ton of instances where she would see me, but at weddings or things like that, when you're having drinks, I would want a cigarette, and then once I've had a couple drinks, I was like, oh, fuck it, I don't care if she sees me smoke, and I would smoke, and she would usually not say anything, but I could tell she was disappointed. I mean, she said something the first time. She goes, oh, you're smoking, and I was like, yeah, just when I drink, and then she'd be like, oh, I really wish you wouldn't. And then what she'd always say was, you're going to get wrinkles.
She knows how to get at you. Yeah. She knows how to get inside. That's a good mother.
She did. She's like, you're going to get wrinkles. And she's like, you've got beautiful skin. She's like, look at my wrinkles. This is from smoking.
Oh my God.
And my mom still has beautiful skin, but she was I would have more beautiful skin. My mom is 69 years old.
She is probably healthier than the both of us.
She's definitely, yeah. But again, she would always scare me like that. She'd be like, the youth is going to disappear. The beauty is going to disappear.
That's one of Merle's biggest fears.
Makes me sound so vain.
No, I mean, we all are to a degree. So.
Yeah. But
I mean, let's be honest.
Unfortunately, that did scare me more than the health for a while. But anyway, she didn't push me. Like when we went to Spain together, I was like, we're in Europe, mom. I'm going to buy cigarettes because European cigarettes are different. They, first of all, burn quicker. I guess they have less chemicals in them. Do not quote me on that, but they're made differently. And it's aesthetic in Europe. So it was like, yeah, that's why. I was like, it's way more publicly acceptable here. I got to do it. It's part of being here. And she let me. I mean, I was old enough. Like I could do what I want, but she didn't love it.
Well, how old were you with your first cigarette?
I started smoking cigarettes in college. I think it was probably my sophomore year of college. Maybe I had one in my freshman year, but I think it was my sophomore year.
Wow. Well, yeah, you actually held out pretty well, I will say. 18. I feel like people that are like kind of peer pressured into it do so in like high school.
I hated cigarettes because my grandmother used to smoke cigarettes.
But the thing, and you love your grandmother. And so I'm wondering why you didn't, because you obviously looked up to her, but you never found that aspect of her life cool, the smoking. Like you weren't like, oh, my grandmother who I love and find so cool smokes. It's probably cool if I do the same, or it's okay if I do the same. You didn't feel that?
Did not. I actually really hated it because anytime I would go to her for a while, she smoked inside. So I would always smell like cigarettes when I would come home. Finally, my mom was like, please, like at least smoke outside. So she would. The smell of cigarettes did remind me of her and does still remind me of her. So there is something about it that I love. And you know what? To this day, I'm sad that I never smoked a cigarette with her. I know that sounds so fucked up, but I do wish
I get it
that I did. Because it was such a thing.
So it's interesting, though, that you started at 18. Because I feel like, did you know, like, in high school, did you know people in high school that were already smoking?
Yeah, I didn't think it was cool.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I grew up, I guess my middle school and high school years were in Thailand. And in Asia, smoking is a very big thing. I mean, we were already going to clubs and drinking at the age of, like, 13, 14. I wasn't really. I mean, I would go to these clubs, but I wasn't really drinking. I've never liked the taste of alcohol. But at that time, so you're 13, 14, people were already smoking at that age. So a lot of my peers, they were smoking at the age of 13, 14, as early as that. But yeah, smoking just never really appealed to me, you know. I didn't grow up around it in the house because neither of my parents smoke. I don't think my brother's, I think my brother's never touched a cigarette himself. But I think also because I lost my aunt to lung cancer because she was a very heavy smoker, I think that also dissuaded me from smoking. So yeah, I never really felt the peer pressure, thankfully. I never succumbed, rather, to the peer pressure of smoking, despite the fact that majority of my friends were smokers. Although again, once again, to my point that I brought up earlier, though, that now here I am, 32 years old. If anything, I'm a little bit more into that aesthetic, I guess, where one might think I'd be more of a smoker.
You really sound like you're about to start smoking.
I'm really not.
You brought it up five times.
I'm really not. I'm not trying to make I'm just saying, you know, back then I was very much a kind of like a preppy little schoolboy. And so, you know, I'd be probably more inclined to smoke now. But I'm thinking that despite the societal pressure that there is now to fit into the aesthetic by smoking, I can see how someone at a younger age might succumb to peer pressure. Like the fact that I have the fleeting thought in my head at 32 as somewhat wise as I am and less likely to succumb to peer pressure. The fact that I'm thinking these things like, oh, I would look cool smoking. Someone a lot younger who is dealing with peer pressure and maybe like the societal pressure to look cool. Like everyone has that battle when you're younger, right? You kind of want to look and fit in. You just want to fit in. I can see how someone a lot younger might just like end up smoking because of that pressure. I will say, since this is all about honesty, this podcast, I have indulged in nicotine in the form of snus. Which I don't know if that... Is that the American term for it?
No, I'd never heard of it until you...
I don't know what the American term for it is. It's kind of like...
I think it's snus.
It's snus. It's like the Zyn packets, if you are familiar with it. They're basically like these little nicotine pouches that you put in your gum. It's not like dip, because dip is like raw tobacco, isn't it?
Yeah, so
this is like a little... you put a little snus packet in your mouth, and you can kind of get like a nicotine buzz for like 10, 20 minutes, get a little... sometimes a little lightheaded.
He loves to get those for weddings and hand them out to people.
Yes, but... I will say, yeah, I don't do them very often. I did them once this year. At Matt Rial and Sadie Rial's wedding. And I did pass them around. and I will say that some of us
all got sick, right?
Yeah, I think my brother got a little sick. I was heading him around because they're a fun little quick buzz for a wedding. But I mean, they're dangerous because they're like nicotine as well. So I guess that's the only like nicotine I've indulged in.
But the buzz. Let's talk about the buzz of cigarettes.
Well, I can't know. Is this, you've done
it's the same. It's nicotine same? Buzz. Okay. Well, except for you're smoking it, you're inhaling it in your lungs.
But since you've done both, would you say it's a similar buzz?
Well, once you've started smoking, nothing's going to hit quite the same as a cigarette.
See, yeah, because I don't. Oh, so or a cigarette's smoking. Stronger.
No. Vaping is the strongest.
Oh, is it?
Once I started vaping, taking a drag of a cigarette felt like nothing.
Oh, interesting. And so you would say snus, then smoking a cigarette, then vaping as far as like.
As far as forms of nicotine I've taken, yeah.
Oh, so snus is the weakest.
In my experience, it's just different. It's a different way it gets to you.
Yeah.
It's slower.
Well, snus.
It's straight up when you're smoking.
To your point about it being aesthetic in Europe, the smoking, the snus thing, I think is a very European thing too. Like, especially like, I was introduced to it by my Swedish friend when I was in Italy with her. And I was like, what's this little fun thing? And so we were traveling around Italy together and every night, a little snus, not even during the day, maybe a little snus, a little fun. But then I don't indulge in it very often. I've only done it once this year. But anyways, that's my only real nicotine experience. But yeah, smoking, never smoked a cigarette.
7 of the 10 Best Picture nominees from 2023's Oscars featured tobacco imagery of various kinds. So it's still very prevalent in media. I mean, even like Matt Healy from 1975, basically his aesthetic is just like, on the edge of dying. He's always drinking on stage and he smokes cigarettes on stage. I honestly see photos of him out and he looks like somebody who's on the edge of dying. But I used to have a huge crush on him. I do not anymore. But right now he's dating Gabriette, who is a musician and also makes like really kind of very addictively fun to watch food videos. She's gorgeous, gorgeous. And just, she is so cool. And they both smoke together out in public. And they're just like a grunge rocker, counterculture, cool couple, especially her, really. But I'm just like, they're pushing that back out there, I think, you know? But then again, are they consciously pushing that out there or is that just how they live? I mean, it seems like he loves cigarettes, has always loved cigarettes. I don't know her very well. I mean, I don't know her at all. But, you know, I don't know her history with smoking or anything like that. Should they have the right to just go ahead and smoke? Of course. Anybody has the choice to smoke if they want.
Well, I guess that goes to the question of, you know, should we as a public or I guess the public do a bigger part in, I guess, shaming celebrities for smoking? Not so much because, you know, of course they have their right to smoke and live their life as they want. And I will say that I don't think they're doing it to push. Matty Healy, I feel like I don't think he's doing it to fit an image. I think he just probably, that's just who he is. But that said, yeah, should we, or I guess the public feel more free or should be shaming celebrities considering their influence? Not so much because of course they're free to do what they want. It's their lives, but they should. Yeah, but they have a platform, of course. And you mentioned it earlier with the Jenna Ortega situation. Dua Lipa specifically, when you have people in the comments saying, you know, please don't be smoking.
A lot of the people that were telling her not to smoke, I think, were because they were worried about her health.
Oh, okay.
But some people are also like, you have an influence. I will say this. I think if you're a celebrity or you're a public figure, you should have the right to indulge in whatever. You know, it's your right to do with your body what you want. But you do have an influence. There is no doubt about it. I know for a fact when I was smoking and when I was vaping, when I would see people I like smoking and vaping or vaping, it made me so happy. I was like, oh my God, thank goodness they do it because then I don't feel as bad. Because there is an added element of shame that I think a lot of smokers or nicotine users in general feel. Which is like, oh, but especially smoking, because smoking smells. Like, you can't deny the smell of a cigarette. And you taste like cigarettes, and, you know, your clothes smell like it, your hair smells like it. So then I'm like, oh, well, if Dua Lipa also has, like, bad smoker breath in the morning, then whatever. Like, then I'm not as gross as I thought. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they do have a little bit of a responsibility. I mean, they have to know people look up to them. With what they do with that is at their discretion. When you have paparazzi chasing you around invading your privacy, at a certain point, it's like, okay, they literally can't like live their life on the go, you know? Mm-hmm. You can't hide in a bush to smoke a cigarette. But if you're posing for pictures with cigarettes, you're basically endorsing the product. Or you're vaping. You know, it's basically free.
Advertising for these companies, yeah.
It's free advertising. But maybe that's where I stand. If it's a paparazzi photo of them that they had no control over and they were being like stalked, hunted by the paparazzo, then that's not really their fault. But if they're posing with something and they're putting it out there and it's part of their aesthetic, that's your responsibility. I mean, you have to know the power you and the influence you have. There's something you will never understand unless you've smoked a cigarette, which is the connection that smokers have with each other out in the wild.
Mm.
When you have a cigarette and you see someone else with a cigarette, you just like automatically you're part of a club together. You're like, people don't get us, but you get me right now. And that feels nice. And when you're out and about, if you're out at a bar, nice to take a break from the loud music to go outside and have a smoke and take a break from everything and meet new strangers. It's not as scary because you already have something in common.
Yeah, because you're bumming a cigarette from them or asking for a light. So that's an instant way to connect with someone or to open up a conversation.
Yeah, that was like a little game for me. I used to love finding cigarettes.
Oh, whatever kept you happy, I guess.
I mean, some would call that a mooch, but I looked at it as a challenge.
Well, I'm sure as a very beautiful woman, it was not hard for you to find cigarettes.
It was an easy way to start a conversation. Yeah. And I'd always be like, can I give you a dollar? And they'd be like, no, keep your dollar.
Yeah, they wanted a kiss, probably.
Some of them got kisses, probably.
Hey. I mean, I will say that's be a good way. Again, yeah, I can see how the allure of like... as far as dating and we're picking people up. I mean, that's a great way. You know, sometimes when you're at a club or a bar, you're not sure how to approach someone. Cigarettes are a very easy way into, you see someone you find attractive smoking outside. Hey, can I borrow a cigarette? And then you're outside, not with the music, so you're able to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much guilting that goes on when you're a smoker. Like, I remember my oldest friends, they hated that I smoked. And understandably so, because they never smoked. So they were, you know... They would tell me, like, you know, do what you want, but, like, we hate it. And I don't blame them. Who wants to smell? Who wants to smell like cigarettes? And who wants to be around someone and they're going to smell like cigarettes when they come back? It's gross, honestly. But then if you find someone that does smoke cigarettes and that is okay with it, that's fun. Because then you're like, oh, I can smoke all I want. I only dated one person that smoked cigarettes, and I smoked more cigarettes than I'd ever smoked in my life.
I think my issue with smoking, why it's always been a deal breaker for me, was because it's just, I didn't like the smell. Then you're kissing someone who has that, just that cigarette breath, taste.
Can't get rid of it.
As much as I've been talking about how like it's part of the aesthetic, smoking, and potentially looks cool as part of the aesthetic, I also find it unattractive in the sense that it just, the disregard for your own health is kind of unattractive too, you know, just like how you... kind of want a partner who takes care of himself to a degree.
Nah, this is the messaging I'm familiar with from you.
Yeah. Well, you haven't heard it in a while. But yeah, you know, just like it's, I don't know, it's like, yeah, I never found it attractive.
Well, you'll never know what it was like to be outside with a group of smokers and you're looking at all the squares inside that don't smoke and just think, I'm a little better than those people, but also I'm killing myself.
Like I said, I will say, if there was a way for me to go around smoking a cigarette that didn't have nicotine, a clove cigarette?
Or like a fake cigarette. You could get the fake like movie cigarettes.
Imagine you walk around with fake movie cigarette, like a prop cigarette smoking.
You should do that so you can see what it's like. But it won't be the same.
It won't be the same because I'd be
honestly,
a poser.
I think if you smoke a cigarette, you'll immediately never want to smoke one again. I don't think you'll like it. I don't want you to because there's always a chance you will like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then especially then I get a picture taken with one and people telling me how cool I look. And I'm like, all right, well.
Who needs health when you can look cool?
No, but genuinely, yeah. Of course, I'm not going to walk around with a fake cigarette. That'd be kind of funny, though, if like I walked around and no one knew, but then someone eventually did find out. I don't know how that conversation would go.
So you had a fake cigarette?
Yeah.
Someone would be like, can I bum a cigarette from you? They'd be so disappointed.
I'd have to pretend, I don't have another one.
That would be the lamest thing you could possibly fucking do. That's almost equivalent to, like, that's worse than when people wear glasses when they don't need to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Which you've done.
Which I've done. So don't come for me because I've done it. And they were blue light glasses. So
you
they
do look
protected
good in them too.
My eyes.
But
I don't wear them out in public. I think I did it one time, and then I couldn't stand myself, so I didn't ever do it again.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah. That's funny.
So this is the undeniable truth about smoking. Whether you agree that it kind of looks cool, or you think we're crazy, it does not look cool, it's disgusting, or you smoke,
on that topic, would love to hear your thoughts in the comments. Again, always a judgment-free zone. Do you think smoking looks cool? Do you smoke? Do you not smoke? Do you find it attractive, unattractive? Should we be shaming people that smoke, I guess, with a platform that is, that are promoting it, willingly promoting it? Let us know. But
I think it's really interesting. to know people's opinions on that, especially the shaming part.
We would love to hear from you. So leave a comment if you're watching the video version. The audio version will have a little, I think on Spotify, there's an option to, there'll be a question.
You can put a poll.
Yes, there'll be a poll and stuff. So yeah, hit us up. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
It's trivia time.
I love it.
You can answer in the comments. Let us know if you got any of these correct. But I mean, who the hell is going to know this off the top of their head? Unless you work for the CDC. Okay, so how many deaths each year in the United States are caused by cigarette smoking? Is it 250,000, 480,000, or 690,000 deaths every year in the United States because of cigarettes?
I'm going to veer high, so 690,000.
480,000.
Okay. I mean, that's still a lot. 480,000, so that's like lung cancer.
Each year because of cigarette smoking.
So almost
just
half a
in
million.
The United States.
Just in the United States, almost half a million
every year. So that's nearly one in five deaths in the United States is from smoking.
Wow.
So right about now, according to the CDC, 11% of adults are smokers in the US.
11%, okay.
I should have asked you to guess, but whatever. And smoking is the number one cause of preventable death in the United States.
Wow.
Over drinking.
Interesting. Well, yeah.
I don't know if I would have thought drinking. I guess because of car crashes, I would have thought maybe drinking, but I guess smoking makes sense. Okay, smoking causes more deaths each year than the following causes combined. Human immunodeficiency virus, or HIV, illegal drug use, alcohol use, motor vehicle injuries, and firearm-related incidents.
More
combined.
Combined?
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of, that is nuts, because I thought crashes would be higher.
So the combination of HIV, illegal drug use, alcohol use, motor vehicle injuries, and firearm related incidents combined.
Wow.
All of those
even
deaths.
Like, so overdoses and stuff, even more so. Wow.
Yep.
Wow, that is combined. That is
That's wouldn't have guessed unbelievable.
That. Yeah.
Lung cancer is the top cancer killer of men and women in the US.
That I can believe, yeah.
Of those who die from this disease, 9 out of 10 are from smoking. Another just random fact. More than 10 times as many U.S. citizens have died prematurely from cigarette smoking than have died in all the wars fought by the United States. I love how I was like, trivia time, ask you one question.
Yeah. Well, hey, this is still very interesting, though.
Secondhand smoke causes the premature death of how many adults and how many infants each year? For the adults, is it 10,000, is it 21,000, or is it 41,000 adults? Secondhand smoke.
Man, even with 10,000 secondhand smoke, that's just fun. That's rough. I'm gonna go with 10,000 because I'm hoping it's a low. I'm hoping it's the lower number.
41,000.
41,000 was the higher one.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And
so these people just
just from breathing in and just from living with someone who smokes.
That's why I'm glad you stopped.
I never smoked inside, and I never smoked during the day. So, and more than 400 infants die each year from secondhand smoke.
More than 400?
That's crazy, because that's like, with infants, it's like, you haven't even been alive that long. You know what I mean?
That's terrible.
It's like, no shit.
But
you know what I mean? Like, it didn't even take that long to do that to them. It's tragic. Okay, smoking can cause cancer in almost anywhere in your body. If you're smoking a cigarette right now, I'm so sorry. Or maybe I'm not. It can mess with getting pregnant. It can, of course, you know, impact the health of your baby. It can cause stillbirth, blah, 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 blah. So that's all the stuff about, that's all the bad things. No, it's not even all of them. That's some of the bad things about smoking. Just to give us all a reality check about how harmful it is. Then when you look at pop culture and how it's portrayed in movies, in TV shows, and in mainstream media, and when you see influencers smoking, you know, is it aesthetic or is it toxic? Maybe it's both. It's pretty awful, but it also goes to show how addictive and powerful nicotine is, that we know this and it is still successful.
Yeah. And once again, we are creating a space here where, you know, we're not judging you if you are smoking.
No, I did
it. Yeah, whether or not you're deciding to quit or not, even if you're like, fuck it, I'm still going to smoke, it's your life.
No, totally.
This is just a conversation, right?
You should just be informed no matter what you decide to do. It is your body. You do whatever you want with it. But it is, I mean, I think it's important to know. And that's not even talking about vaping. That's just smoking.
No, vaping is its own episode.
Vaping will be its own episode. I can speak to that for a long time. Also, do you know that smoking makes hangovers worse? The carcinogens in them also make hangovers worse.
Oh, interesting.
Like, nights that I would go out drinking versus nights that I go out drinking and smoking. Ooh, The next mornings are horrible.
Didn't know.
When you quit smoking, it improves, obviously, your health status, enhances your quality of life. It reduces the risk of premature death and can add as much as 10 years of life back onto your life expectancy. And it reduces the risk for many adverse health effects, including poor reproductive health outcomes, cardiovascular diseases, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and cancer. So as far as quitting goes, it's tough. And I will say, I mean, it's honestly, nicotine addiction has been the hardest thing for me to, like, nicotine's the thing in my life. You know, I've tried, I've done plenty of things, but nicotine's been the one that's been a constant in my life. And it's hard to quit. It is hard, but it's also really simple to make the choice to quit. It's harder when the people you surround yourself with are smoking. What I did that I would recommend to anyone, and again, I would recommend watching the video, not just because I want you to watch it, but also because you will feel a lot less alone. I can promise you that, because I would say 70% of that video is me trying to quit and failing over and over.
I found that really, it was entertaining the way you kind of did it, but also it was very inspiring in a way that you finally, because I think as you watch the video, you're rooting for Merle to finally kick this habit.
By the end of the video, I genuinely was like, I don't know. I don't think I have control over this anymore.
Yeah, and as someone who was with her along the journey, and for large chunks of it, didn't even know she was filming. There were periods where I was like, wow, I don't know if she's going to be able to do it.
It got to a point where it was completely out of control. Nicotine, the buzz you get from nicotine, this is something I learned in the book that I will also link below that helped me quit. There's one for smoking. It's by Alan Carr, the author. This is what I think really changed everything for me. There's two things that changed everything for me. And I'll tell you, I won't even say go to the video to find out. One is I listened to the audiobook by Alan Carr, How to Quit Vaping. He has one that's very, very popular that came first called How to Quit Smoking, which I highly recommend. Rewired my brain. It really was helpful. And one thing I really liked about it is that he says, don't try to quit yet. Finish the book first. So you don't even have to, you know, feel guilty, like still kind of smoking while you're reading it or listening to it. And anyway, so I listened to that audiobook. And the other thing I did for myself is I've stopped drinking for the foreseeable future, because drinking and smoking was so linked to everything for me. And, you know, anytime I get drunk and I go to a bar, I'm going to keep my eye outside to see if there are people smoking or if there's someone who has a vape in their hand. It's just like ingrained in my mind. So I need to rewire my brain and disconnect those habits. If you're someone who smokes all day, then nicotine is tied to a lot of your routines, like your morning coffee or your morning walk, before you eat a meal, after you eat a meal, whatever it is. We're creatures of habit, so it really attaches itself to things. And anyway, so I highly recommend that book. Either listen to it or read it, whatever you prefer, and maybe take a break from drinking if you do. That just helped. Those are the things that helped me, and I'm living proof that it's possible, and I'm not going to tell you that I don't still crave it sometimes, because I 100% do, but a lot less than I did last month, and a lot less than I did the month before that, and a lot less than I did the month before that. So it gets easier and easier all the time. And finally, I feel better than I have ever felt in my life. I'm working out more than I've ever worked out in my life. I'm a morning person all of a sudden. Again, I think the not drinking is also part of that. But it does feel good. And so that's why when I see this wave of like smoking being cool again and, you know, people getting looped back into it, it's frustrating. But I also get it. It's frustrating and I get it. And I hope that if you are someone who smokes and you want to quit, I hope you know that it's possible and you can do it. Doesn't matter how much you smoke, you can do it. The side effects don't last forever. At most, I think the side effects last around 3 days. Other than that, it's just you missing the habit, the craving of it all, whatever. And they're significantly less severe than withdrawals for other drugs. Like much, 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 much less. So, and honestly, the buzz that you get, this is the thing that blew my mind. The buzz, because I always was looking for that first cigarette buzz. Here's another thing you don't know. The first hit or drag you take from a cigarette is the best one. After that, there's no matching it. So, and what all that is just your brain no longer withdrawing from nicotine. It's not actually like a buzz. It's your brain rewarding you from the withdrawal. That's why the longer you go without nicotine, the buzz feels better because you've been withdrawing.
Yeah, well, I'm very, very proud of you. Like, honestly, I can see the benefits that it's given you, as far as, again, yeah, you're more of a morning person, you're working out. Again, this may be, like you said, tied to not drinking, but either way, I can see it in you. I think you look beautiful. I always thought you looked beautiful, but I can definitely, I can feel a glow about you since you're not sucking away your your life force. But no, I'm very proud of you. And I'm proud of anyone out there who's giving it a try. And if you try and you fail.
I did that like 1,000 times. So it's possible to try and fail and then finally just keep trying and just commit. And take a break from the people. That's what I'm saying. Going out makes it really hard. It's because it's going to be tempting. Maybe stay in for a little bit. I've become a real mole person. It's nice. Yeah. I'm saving a lot of money. That's another part I wouldn't even talk about. Cigarettes are expensive.
Yeah, that's what makes me feel good sometimes about not, about sometimes like, because I only really spend money on tattoos and clothes. And so sometimes I'm like, am I spending too much money? I probably am spending too much money, but I'm also like, I don't spend money on alcohol. I don't spend money on cigarettes. I mean, even pot. It's not like I don't buy pot. I don't smoke pot regularly or anything like that. So it's like, yeah, you know, like those are vices I'm not spending money on. So it's okay. You know, it'd be bad if I was getting tattoos, buying clothes, smoking, drinking. That, okay, then my bank account would be kind of fucked. But anyways, yes, I am glad. Would you say cigarettes are more expensive than, I guess... Well, drinking. Well, no, drinking always adds up.
No,
more,
but cigarettes are more expensive than they've ever been. I think it's like $15-$16 for a pack now. Depends on how much you smoke, too. But like,
yeah. And very quickly, did you want to touch upon, I guess, kind of like the brands and how that kind of like the coolness of specific types of cigarettes?
Oh, well, my cigarettes that I used to smoke were Camel Blues. And occasionally, when I was younger, when I was in college, I liked the Crush ones sometimes, too. I would mix it up.
What's that?
It would crush, and then it would be menthol.
That was kind of fun. Sounds like a Willy Wonka cigarette.
Yeah, it was fun. And they knew what they were doing. There was a little ball in there. You crunch it down, and then it would taste like menthol. Before that, it wouldn't.
Wow, that's crazy.
It was actually
it really
feels
like a Willy Wonka. It was sort of like fun. A fun little candy.
And that's why I started vaping on menthol-flavored vapes. But I really, honestly, there was nothing quite like just the plain old Camel Blues. Yeah, so everyone has their, just like you have preference in alcohol. Sorry, I just was like, everyone should quit. Now I'm like graphically explaining how much I loved Camel Blues. I'm like that crunch, the menthol. But no, I mean, realistically, it's like, okay, would I like to smoke again? Yeah, I would. But very quickly, it would get old. I just want that first buzz. And I already know myself well enough to know that as soon as I got that first buzz, is all downhill for me. My brain is, once your brain is wired to be addicted to nicotine, it does not unwire completely.
That's something you told me a lot when you're trying to explain how much of a struggle it is.
Yeah. It's so as soon as you pick it back up, it's like you're right back where you left off. So, you know, that's just that. What did you ask me? Oh, about cigarettes. Yeah, some people. And then there's like the hipsters have American Spirits. Those ones last longer. And then like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the hardcore. Or like the Cowboys had Marlboro Red.
Oh, yes, the classic. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, Patsy used to smoke Marlboro
Her
Golds.
Grandmother.
Yeah, my grandmother's Marlboro Golds. And she gave them to Donald. My grandfather gave them to Nadia, my friend Nadia, after she passed away because Nadia smoked and they used to smoke together. So there's whole cultures. There's culture. I mean, and it does have a cultural significance. Smoking does in many other countries. We're talking more about the U.S. here right now. So don't come for me, French people, please. Just
well, it's not just the French. Like you say, big in Europe, in Asia too. I can't even really speak to it in Asia because again, I wasn't really a smoker, so I wasn't a part of that aspect of the
China,
culture.
China, I think, has really
Koreans,
high.
Koreans, I know, are big smokers too, or at least again, the ones that I were at school with me. For some reason, I associate a lot of the Korean students with being smokers. I think all of them smoked.
It's everywhere.
The Thai kids. Yeah. So yeah, it's big overseas, but yeah, I guess we're speaking specifically
we're
to
speaking
the
US. About the US.
Or you are, because I can't really speak to it, but
anyway.
Anyways, wow. That was thank you for gathering all that information. It was a lot for, very helpful and very interesting for me to learn. And I'm sure for a lot of people listening too. So
I will say as much as it would be nice to smoke again, nothing makes me want to wake up hungover with the taste of cigarettes in my hair and in my mouth.
Yes.
Disgusting.
And I really.
And my fingers. Oh my God. If you're trying to quit, I believe in you. You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. Trust me. Go watch the video. Hopefully it'll help you. You'll see how much I struggled. And then maybe you'll be like, oh, I can do it easier than her.
Yeah, make it a little challenge, a little game. See if you can beat it.
Yeah, see if you can do it in under a year.
If you can beat your habit faster than Merle. But either way.
We believe in you.
We do believe in you. And we appreciate you all, as always, for being here, listening to the podcast. It's always a pleasure, a real treat to have you.
And if you do smoke, we still love you, obviously. And I get it.
Totally. And again, please do share your experiences down in the comments below. If you're new here, please make sure to subscribe to the channel, follow the podcast, leave us a review. That goes a long way. Share it with your friends, especially an episode like this one, which I do think can be very beneficial for if you have a friend or a family member or someone you know who's battling with nicotine addiction, with smoking, share this and hopefully, you know, it'll help, you know, help them kick the habit potentially, or at least just be a part of the conversation.
You just feel less alone. I think that's the number one thing when I did that YouTube video, people were like, this made me feel a lot less alone in my addiction. Because people that don't smoke, don't get it.
If you're someone who is a smoker trying to kick the habit and you have people in your life like I was for Merle who just don't get it, like why it's so hard to kick the addiction, show them this episode.
Yeah, be like, listen to these two friends of ours talking about it. Maybe it'll give you a different perspective.
Yeah, maybe you'll be less harsh on me for you know, having trouble kicking the addiction. Because I was harsh on Merle, I think, at times. And because I just didn't get it. I didn't get why she couldn't quit it so easily.
Yeah.
You know, and it took me a while to understand that it is... It's a bad thing.
I wasn't doing it just for fun.
Yeah, for sure. It was the addiction, and it's a very real addiction. But either way, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much to everyone for listening. Thank you for tuning in for the first episode of the new year.
Yes.
Lots of love to our Patreon members. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you for supporting us. Because we love doing this.
We do love doing this, and we're excited to do more episodes for you all. And if you do want to support us on Patreon, help us, because again, this whole podcast is entirely self-financed, self-produced by the two of us. We would really appreciate it. But otherwise, we just also just appreciate you being here, listening, watching, and being a part of this little inappropriate gang.
And if you are a Patreon member, you get to listen to these pipes.
Yes, we'll be singing a song for you in a little moment.
We'll give them a little sample. Which song?
I don't know, sweetie.
Don't wanna.
This is after. This episode's coming out after Christmas. Well, that's all you get. You get a little bit of that. But either way, thank you all, and lots of love. Lots of love.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Don't smoke. You're gonna choke. It is no joke.
Is that an actual slogan, or did you?
My
just
mom used
that?
To chant that.
I love her for that. Well, that's
not
amazing.
At me. Oh, she used to, or my brothers used to chant it at her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love that. That way, that's an original? Like an original?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, that had a good ring to it.
Anyway,
Don't smoke.
You're gonna choke. It is no joke. If somebody said that to me when I was smoking, I would have pinched them as hard as I could.
All right. Well, lots of love. We'll see you guys
next
week.
Happy 2024.
Happy 2024.
Let's say that in harmony.
Happy 2024.
That was so creepy.
Well, not as creepy as you talking about how beautiful Jenna Ortega's skin is. Repeatedly.
It is. Okay. Sorry.
It is beautiful skin. That's just the way you kept saying it. My God. It's like she's going to want a
restraining
order.
Be a woman in her 30s.
All right. We love you.